We're continuing on our series on the work of the Holy Spirit and also on that of the armor of God. And I encourage you to come out tonight. Eleanor will be leading us as she speaks this evening. And the living stones as well. So let's just turn to God's word. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let us pray together. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit wrestles in our hearts now, puts a calling upon us, inspires and motivates us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Holy Spirit inspires us in mission. If we were in a classroom situation, we might try to discuss the differences between mission and evangelism, but we're not in that type of situation. We don't need to understand the differences between those definitions. What we want to do today is to be inspired for mission. That's what the Holy Spirit seeks to do. It's not just about programs and events. It's not even just about preaching the gospel. If that were the case, why, in any given opportunity, would the Spirit have hindered them from seeking to do so? Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And we all know how central the Word of God is, and we know that the place that we give to preaching here within Wellington, like most evangelical churches, we give 110% support in seeking to expound the Word of God with clarity, with urgency, and with conviction. But simply lifting up your Bible and preaching a sermon isn't a recognition of the power of God at work. It certainly would be true wherever we preached it. But there needs to be a relationship with the Holy Spirit in any act of mission that we seek to do. To not engage the work of the Spirit, to not listen to the work of the Spirit, to not develop that relationship with Him, would mean that we would steamroll our way through a nation, feeling that by simple words alone, even though they are revealed in Scripture, would be sufficient for their conversion. It is not. The work of the Holy Spirit is to lead and to guide His people to appropriate times and situations and seasons and places. And we preach it in and out of season, there's no question of that. But to particular situations where He wants to speak in a particular way. And that's critical. And in this case, the Holy Spirit decided that it wasn't the time for Paul, perhaps others would need to fill that, for the gospel to go to the province of Asia. Rather, He wanted them to direct their attention elsewhere. And in this particular passage, it was Macedonia. When you seek to do mission, how much do you listen to the work of the Spirit? Or do we steamroll ahead without asking the Spirit to empower us, to fill us, to reveal to us how we should seek to share that gospel, and often with Him? Because if we're listening to the Spirit, we will do what the Spirit tells us to do. And there are occasions when it seems unnatural for us not to share the gospel, but as an act of obedience with God, we should be listening to what He is saying. 99.9% of the time, I will share the gospel with anyone who is willing to listen. But there are times when the Spirit speaks. I was invited to go and to speak to a young couple who were living in a house in my last pastorate. And I had no knowledge of this couple whatsoever. But because I knew the person who was asking me to go, I obliged. I said, yeah, that's fine. I'll go and see this couple. I arrived at their door and I knocked their door. And as soon as I knocked their door and they opened that door and I stepped into the hallway, I recognized that this was not a comfortable place. And as I walked through the door, they invited me into the living room. And I sat down. And the man was sitting to my chair on my left, and his wife was sitting to my right. And he looked at me before I spoke, and he said, "The voices are telling me about your Jesus. Do you want me to tell you what they're saying about your Jesus?" And she looked at me and said, "Same voices are speaking to me. Do you want to know what they're saying about your Jesus?" I said, "No, I don't." I said, "I will neither pray for you here or speak to you here." And so I simply left. And as soon as I got to the door, a voice said to me, "You're too scared to talk about Jesus." And then the reassuring presence of the Spirit came. He said, "No, you're not. Just go your way." It would have been so easy to have felt that in every situation we should share the gospel. But not in every situation. There was a spiritual war going on. And I believe in this particular case, these people were so involved in other activities that they were neither willing nor ready to listen to the gospel. But this had been a confrontation in the spiritual realm. This was a conflict between good and evil. It would have served no purpose to have shared the gospel to a couple who were neither moved upon by the Holy Spirit, nor would have illuminated the teaching of Scripture at that point in time. Now, that does not mean that at another point in time would have been the appropriate occasion. If the Spirit directs and I was to have gone back and to shared the gospel with them at a later stage, God may have opened that door, but not that day. I don't see how that's any different to what the Spirit enables us to do and empowers us to do. You see, this is about dependency on God, not upon formula or mechanics. We just don't do a gospel mission and expect God to bless it. We just don't hand out a tract and expect God to illuminate it. We just don't go around simply doing what we believe to be right with not without depending upon God, without listening to God, without asking to be filled with His Holy Spirit, without being prepared to be empowered by His Holy Spirit. If we listen to the Spirit guides, the Spirit leads, the Spirit directs. And it's much more impacting and much more powerful and much more relevant when God tells us just what to do. I had been visiting the home of a professional boxer on the estate. And he had just recently become a Christian. And he had asked me whether it was right to still continue to box or not as a Christian. And I said, listen, that's a decision you've got to make as a professional boxer. And he felt that it was right for him to continue to do so. And then he said to me, listen, I have a bout coming up in Belfast. He said, will you come with me? Will you be at the weigh-in and will you also be in the changing rooms with me and pray with me? And it was starting to get a little bit more complicated as a result of that. And I said, listen, just leave this with me. And he said, I'll tell you why I want you to go. He said, my mom and dad will be there. He said, they have not been to church for a long time. And he said, I would like an opportunity if you would sit with them and that you would share the gospel with them if an opportunity arises. He said, I'll have to think about this. And so I went home and I prayed about it and I asked God to reveal whether it was a right or wrong thing for me to do in this particular occasion. And I felt a strong compulsion that it was the right thing for me to do. But he said, there's one other little twist in this. The boxer said, listen, there's going to be a meal at this. And he said, I'm the final event. I'm the main bout. But he said, there's going to be a comedian there. Partway through, they're going to have a break. And the comedian's going to come on. And let's say his material wouldn't be to your liking. Although he didn't put it so poshly. And I said, I'll have to deal with that. I felt that God wanted me to go. I felt the Spirit leading me. And so I went. We were in the changing rooms. And we spent the afternoon together before his fight. And then we went in and we sat down. And it was before the smoking ban. And you couldn't see the ring for smoke. I don't know how the opponents were going to see each other during the fight, but it was certainly a very smoky atmosphere. And I sat down with his parents. And the comedian came on, and I said to his parents, listen, I need to nip to the toilet for a moment. You'll have to excuse me. So I went out. They must have presumed after 20 minutes that I had a fairly weak bladder, but I returned and sat back down with his mum and his dad. And I'd said to the Lord before I went, I said, listen, I'm going to listen to you. I'm not going to share the gospel here unless an opportunity arises. I'm not going to force this on them. I'm not going to manipulate them. I'm not going to try to get you into the conversation. You have got to open up the opportunity. At the very end of the fight, and he won, his father turned to me and he said, it's always good to have one son turn out all right. I said, what do you mean? He said, my son started to go to church. He said, tell me why. And he said, in that moment, I had the opportunity to sit down with both his mom and his dad and share the gospel very simply, very clearly. I had the joy of leading them into full fellowship of the church on profession of faith a year later. Both gave their heart to Jesus. Listening to the Spirit. There are people who walk into your life every day. Listen to the Spirit. What is the Spirit saying that you should say to them? What is it that He wants you to communicate? If you're listening to the Spirit, He will take you to the right places, the right people, and the right occasions. On this particular occasion, He stopped them from going into the province of Asia. Why? Because He wanted them to join someone in Macedonia. Someone who was crying out for help. And that was the difference. You see, they wanted to go to the province of Asia because they felt that that's where the need was greatest. But it wasn't, not at that particular time, not in the economy of God. In the economy of God, the need was greater in Macedonia. They would have missed it if they had not been listening to the Spirit. But Paul and his companions were open enough, filled with the Spirit enough, and trusting of each other enough, that Paul was given a vision from God. He shared that vision with those that were gathered, and Paul did not steamroll off into Macedonia. He actually asked, "Is this from God?" And it said, "We concluded." Look at how he phrases it in those verses. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision and got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Wonderful. Province of Asia was needy, but here was a man calling, begging that they join them in Macedonia. And this vision was given to him by God, and Paul understood its significance, and he went to those that were gathered therewith, and he said, "Is this what God is saying to us?" And they thought about it, they reflected upon it, and no doubt prayed about it, and they concluded, "Yes, it is now for us to go and to share the gospel in Macedonia." It began with a vision, an inkling, an understanding that God was preparing something for them to do amongst a needy group of people who wanted to hear the gospel. And these two things dovetailing together, the listening of the Spirit, a vision given by God, a consensus reached by God's people, compelled them into a region where they could share the gospel with power, with authority, and with grace. What is God calling us to do? How is he calling us to share the gospel? We need to be on our knees. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not simply a matter of putting together good programs and events and expecting God to bless them. We need to be led and guided by him. We need to be given a vision by him, not one that was owned by someone else or taught by someone else or some YouTube video that we have watched or some duplication of another congregation in another place. What is God saying here? What is God saying now? What is the Spirit wanting to impassion us with? Are there inklings? Are there moves? Is the Spirit beginning to stir in some people? Are you beginning to feel a compulsion to share the gospel with a particular group of people or a particular situation or time? Andrea shared this morning with an event that was happening in her life. It was a Spirit-given moment. Do you think by accident that this man just happened to be in the surgery that particular day? To talk about that particular moment for Andrea and the P3s and the P4s to be considering someone who was homeless, a little child who felt that he wanted to give his fiver of pocket money, some people coming together feeling that this was a good thing to do. Do you think that came out of a package somewhere? Do you think that came out of some other church doing it? Do you think it came out of some program or event that we have been discussing at Kirk Session? No, it's coming through the work of the Holy Spirit. These are the things that God wants to implant in our hearts. Maybe God has been staring you. Maybe you're the type of person who feels a particular urge to reach out to the homeless at Christmas time. Maybe there's something in you that makes you feel uncomfortable with eating a full dinner when other people don't. Maybe you're encouraged to think about those who are in great need. The stirrings of the Holy Spirit, beginning to activate your conscience, beginning to compel you to consider. leading you into the path of someone else who shares a similar goal, similar aspiration, similar desire. A work of the Spirit. Don't wait for us to organize it, folks. That's lazy evangelism. That's a lazy mission. That's thinking that only a few people hear from God and that you'll just follow. Let the Holy Spirit begin to stir in your heart. You don't need 10 programs in order to accomplish that. You just need a heart for God. You just need a compulsion and a vision given by Him to go out and share the gospel with someone that God has placed in your heart. How much of your prayer life is taken over with that requirement for guidance? Or are you asking God always to be doing things in people's lives rather than your availability to do things for others? Or to share a word in season with someone that's just the right word at the right moment and will be the phrase that God will use to transform their lives because it's a God moment and you were listening. And the Spirit inspired you to speak. This is what mission can be like. God-given moments of power and effectiveness. It is that that will help change us and change our communities. Are you listening to the Spirit? Here was a group of people who sought to do so because they were filled with the Spirit. Are you wrestling with the Spirit? Has the Spirit asked you to do something and you're refusing to do it? You're putting it in the back of your mind. It's too risky. No one else is doing it. The cost would be too great. It would take me out of my comfort zone. I implore you to listen to the Spirit. I'm not perfect at listening to Him. I get it wrong on a number of occasions. But I can say this. When I have listened to the Spirit, it has been the most fulfilling times in my life. When I have watched the Spirit take me to someone so that connection is a God-given moment, it makes all the journeying worthwhile. Stop resisting the Spirit. There are people here who are on the point of conversion. You're resisting the Spirit. He has led you to this point. He wants you to respond. You need to be willing to do it. The Spirit is going to lead people into encounters with people this week that you need to talk to. But just don't steamroll. Ask the Spirit what you're to say. It might only be a phrase, but if it's God's phrase for the moment, it can turn a life to God in a way that nothing else can. Out of the hundreds and hundreds of sermons I preach, I hope that people will be nurtured. But I realize that sometimes only God takes up a sentence, and it's that that remains. And I know some of you are asking, could you not ask God to give you that sentence before you preach a 30-minute sermon? Because it could be very short. But out of all the words spoken, God will take one thing, and He'll often implant it as a seed in your heart that will bear fruit in years to come. May the Holy Spirit take you into someone's life this week, and you be ready and willing to listen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you today that the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts, that the message that we bring to this world is all about Jesus, about a risen, glorified, and all-powerful Son of God. Lord, may we celebrate that great name and the wonder of his resurrection in the prayer that other people whose lives are dead in sin would find hope in the gospel and freedom through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.